Hello, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Scripture Verse by Verse. Been going through the book of Revelation verse by verse here, and we come today to Revelation chapter 15. And we left off in verse number 3. So get your Bible, open it up to Revelation chapter 15. The Scripture Verse by Verse website is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. And the great thing about this website, if you love the Word of God, is that that's all you'll find there. You'll be able to study the Bible from Genesis through Revelation. Three complete series, well into the fourth, by the way, but three complete series from Genesis through Revelation, verse by verse, using my audio Bible messages, just like today. So click and listen. That's all you have to do. Study the Word of God with me at your pace, at your convenience, at thebibleversebyverse.com. Well, as I said, we are in the book of Revelation, and we are in Revelation 15. We left off in verse 3. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. So let's pray. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation 15, verse 1, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. And as we will see when we go through these plagues, they are the last. They have to be. And the wrath of God has to be filled up with these last seven plagues because they are so devastating. And they happen in such rapid fire succession, so totally devastating that it would have to be the end or no flesh would survive if Jesus didn't come back and rescue the redeemed. Verse 2, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Who are these people who got the victory over the devil and this anti-God world system? Who did not choose to take the mark of the beast, did not choose to reject Jesus Christ, and so suffered on earth as a result of it. Who are these people and where are they? They are Christians who made it to heaven. Probably many of them, if not all of them, martyred. And it says they got the victory. Isn't that interesting? Notice how they got the victory. By dying. Satan could not touch them anymore. He could not hurt them anymore. The world could not hurt them anymore because they died and they went to heaven. If you're a Christian, death is your ultimate victory. That's why Jesus said, don't fear those who can kill the body, but after that can't do anything else. Is that all they can do? God, Jesus said, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Fear God. Don't fear people. Death is the ultimate victory for you if you're a Christian. That's why Herod, you know, he hated John the Baptist because John the Baptist, like any preacher today who preaches against sin, is going to be hated by sinners. And John the Baptist just went after King Herod, wicked King Herod, and his ungodly so-called wife. John the Baptist went after them with both barrels. And Herod and his wife thought, well, they'll get the victory over John the Baptist. They'll just chop off his head. And all they did was send John home. All they did was give John the victory. So, always remember that. And again, I remind you, as I have many times in the book of Revelation here, the purpose for this book is to encourage Christians to persevere with Jesus, to let them know that in the end, the devil and the devil's crowd and the world and sinners who don't repent, they're the losers. They're the ones who end up in the lake of fire forever. Those who reject Christ end up being tormented forever. Sinners who refuse to repent end up being tormented forever. But you, as a faithful Christian, you persevere to the end. You don't deny your faith in Jesus Christ. You get the victory. It'll be worth it. That's the main message. Those are the main messages, I should say, of the book of Revelation that sometimes get lost in all the sensationalistic interpretations that are sometimes given to this book. I wanted to cut through all that garbage because most of it's just fanciful nonsense anyway that people don't even know. They just speculate. And if you're creative enough, you can sell a lot of books and make the Christian talk show circus, you know, with your new theory on the book of Revelation, whatever. Just don't want any part of that. I'm not creative enough anyway, and I'm glad because I'm not tempted to do it then. I just want to teach the Word of God and give the essential message that God intended us to have in this book. That's where the blessing is. Say, verse 3, and these people in heaven, they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. And I mentioned last time, these Christians in heaven are singing to God. They're worshiping God. They're worshiping Jesus. They're singing to God. And they're saying, just and true are your ways. And they know that now. I mean, we know that by faith, right? As Christians, absolutely. We know that just and true are God's ways, even though we can't always figure them out. And we got to accept that by faith because we know God, you know. So we just naturally figure, yeah, just and true are your ways, God. But why couldn't my prayer be answered? Because it certainly was according to the word. Or why did this bad thing happen to this person over here? Why did that evil person get away with it? Well, when you get to heaven, you're going to be looking back in perfect hindsight, and you'll see. You'll see that God caused everything to equal out in the end, justice prevailed, and there was a reason for him delaying righteousness while on earth. If you're looking for perfect righteousness on this planet, you're going to be very disappointed because it's not here. You got to live by faith, knowing that it will come in eternity. And then when you're in heaven, or if Jesus returns and you skip heaven altogether on the new earth in your resurrected body, you'll be saying, just and true are your ways, God. Nah, I see it. Yep. Verse 4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Everyone in heaven worships who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Those who say all religions worship the same God, just they use different names. There's not a bit of difference between Allah and Jehovah or Yahweh. There's not a bit of difference between Allah and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not a bit of difference between the millions of Hindu gods and the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know what they're talking about. They are tools of the devil. Wittingly or unwittingly, they are tools of the devil, sending out a deceptive message to the world to make them feel comfortable in their lost condition because they're not all alike. Everyone in heaven worships the Lord Jesus Christ, period. Those who say all religions worship the same gods, it just doesn't matter, different names are all the same. Are you out of your mind? Look at what those gods are like and then tell me again how they're the same. You know, things that are different are not the same. How about that for being profound? And this idea that, oh, we all worship the same God, just different names, that sounds so nice. And especially in the attitude that the world has today, sad to say, even among professing evangelical Christians, many of them, sounds so tolerant. Oh, yes, yes, yes. People from all over the world, whether they ever heard of Jesus or not, will be in heaven. I think there's going to be a multitude, said Billy Graham. Look it up. I can still see him standing with Bob Schuller at the Crystal Cathedral saying those very words. Look it up on YouTube. I'm sure it's there someplace. Oh, Bob Schuller, the ultimate universalist. Oh, I'm so glad to hear you say that. Yeah, so is the devil. He's thrilled to have you say that. You just fell right in his trap. Aren't you popular now? And it sounds so tolerant. But it's not true. Okay? It is not true. The God of the Bible, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is completely, totally different than Islam's Allah. He isn't anything like the Hindu gods. I said it, different things are not the same. And the fact is, Jesus is the focus of people in heaven because he's the only way that anyone got there. If you find yourself in heaven, it's only because Jesus got you there. Nobody in heaven is saying, well, I'm so grateful that Allah was merciful to me. I'm so grateful that the Hindu gods were merciful to me. Nobody in heaven is saying that. If that's what they die thinking, they're not going to make it to heaven. They won't be there. The only ones who will be in heaven are those who trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as their Lord and Savior, which is why Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If there were other ways, he would have said, stay at home and be comfortable. Because everybody will end up getting there anyway, as long as they're sincere in what they worship. You see how stupid that is? You see how lame that is? Look at verse 5. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. Notice verse 7. And one of the four living creatures gave unto the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. God set everybody out. The temple in heaven where God's throne room is, God said, I want this place cleared. While these last seven bowls of judgment, the worst of the worst, that will bring to a climax God's wrath against sin and sinners, while those seven bowls are being poured out, that temple is to be empty, except for God himself. The Bible says that judgment is God's strange work. He hates judging sin. He hates sending sinners to hell. Why do you think he sent Jesus, his son? Why do you think Jesus, the eternal son of the eternal father, gave up omnipresence, confined himself to a human body, and died a hideous, horrendous death to pay for our sins? At the hands of sinful man. What do you think he did that? Because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How dare anyone say that God is not a loving God if he sends someone to hell? He has done everything that he possibly could to allow you to avoid that place. If you go to hell, it's on you. He could not have done any more and been true to his justice. And he hates judging. He just has to do it because he has to be true to himself. And just as God is love, he is also just. And he can't just simply overlook sin in the lives of people who refuse the Savior, who paid for their sin. He can't do it. Again, I say to you that judgment is God's strange work. In other words, God does not like to punish sinners. He will. He must, because he is just, but he would rather not. So notice in verse 5, God is preparing to pour out his wrath on sinners. And as he does, he removes everyone from his temple. It's as if God wants to be alone as he sends his angels to punish his rebellious world. Chapter 16, verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth. And there fell a foul and painful sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast and upon them who worshipped his image. And so we see that God's end times wrath begins with painful sores. The people were sure that they could sin and get away with it. The people bought the devil's lie. They lived according to their lust. They rejected the preaching of God's faithful preachers who stuck to the pure word of God and called for repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and a submission to his lordship. They rejected all that in favor of their sin because they thought for sure they'd get away with it. But God's wrath is just getting started, and they're already in a lot of pain. It's just beginning. Look at verse 3. And the second angel poured out his bowl upon the sea, and it became like the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. So immediately, that's what I was talking about earlier. These things, these last seven plagues, happened in rapid fire succession. Immediately after the painful sores appeared on Christ rejecting impenitent sinners, God turns all the seawater, all the ocean water, into blood. And it was the blood of a dead man. It was thick, it was coagulating blood of the dead, and it chokes the life out of all the fish and all the creatures in the sea. Verse 4, and the third angel poured out his bow upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. The painful sores on all Christ-rejecting impenitent sinners, and the oceans filled with blood are quickly followed with judgment number 3. This time, all the rivers, all the streams, all the lakes in the entire world, all the fountains, no doubt all the wells, became blood as well. The freshwater supply is now turned into blood. Blood will flow from every well and every faucet. The stench of death, horrible pain, and severe thirst will come upon this world in the final days. This is punishment for sin. This is God doing what he can no longer put off, and it's still in the early stage. Look at verse 5. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, who art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. In other words, what we have seen in these first few bowl judgments is just exactly what sinful man deserves. God is doing what is right. Bad people who refuse to change and even refuse to take God up upon his offer of mercy through Jesus Christ will be punished, and he is just and right to do what you see him doing right here. And again, he's just getting started. Verse 6, for they have sinned, or I should say they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. The world will persecute and murder countless numbers of Christians towards the end of time. The wicked will have a thirst for innocent blood, and blood is what they will get. It's as if God says, you want blood? I'll give you blood. They'll have blood to drink, and it represents all the innocent blood of Christians that wicked people have murdered. Those who receive pleasure from persecuting and killing Christians, those who approve of the persecution and the murder of Christians and Christ-rejecting sinners from all over the world will choke and gag on blood. You wanted blood? You got blood. Verse 7. And I heard another voice, or I should say I heard another, out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. The laughter of sinners, the mockery, the derision of sinners against God, the blasphemous words of sinners who shook their fist at God and dared him to judge has been turned into mourning. And it's exactly what they deserve. You know, obedient Christians do not have any interest in getting even with those who hurt them. And that's because God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Vengeance is God's business, and he's seen taking care of business in this verse. Christians, believe it or not, should want bad people to repent and be forgiven and avoid punishment. God will take care of the punishment part when he has to. Verse 8. And the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Did you ever see a scorched kettle or a frying pan that's been left on the burner with nothing in there? Just imagine having scorched skin. The unsaved will get a taste of hell during the final days of earth when God turns up the temperature of the sun and it begins to fry their skin. So add scorched sin to the painful sores, the stench of death, the blood, and the thirst. The world is in hell's waiting room. Verse 9. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, who hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. In spite of all these judgments, these horrific judgments, they remain defiant. They're in pain. They're burning. They're scorched. They're choking on blood. They're thirsty. And they can't escape any of these things. And they know God is doing it to them, too. They're not ignorant anymore. They can't run from the truth anymore. This is God. This is the one true God. He's doing it to them. They know he is punishing them for their sin, and yet they still refuse to repent. They shake their fist at God, and they curse him. You know, God could have killed them and sent them to hell immediately, but he didn't. God is giving them a taste of hell. God is giving them a chance to say, I don't want any part of your wrath, God, so I repent. But they refused to repent. Amazing. The hardness of their hearts. Verse 10, and the fifth angel poured out his bowl, and the throne of the beast and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. The heat of the sun is turned up, and at the same time, the light of the sun is turned off, and there is no relief to any of their sufferings. The sun goes black, but there's no relief to their burning. The pain is maddening. They grind their tongue with their teeth, because when you're in as much pain as they are, you've got to do something. You just got to clench your muscles. Every muscle in their body, no doubt, is flexed. And their teeth is gnawing their tongue. Every muscle in their body is flexed because the pain has caused so much tension. There's a way out. There still is a way out, but they refuse to take it. Repenting and receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior would save them, but they will not do it. They'd rather suffer than serve. They'd rather writhe in pain than honor their Creator. They are getting what they deserve, and it's still just the beginning. Verse 10, and the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and the kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. You know, when your sin is killing you, when it is killing you, and it's about to send you to eternal hell fire, and you still won't repent, and you still curse God, you've just about reached the point of no return. And that is the danger. That is the danger that persistent sin puts people in. On a scale of 1 to 10, when you are going through this hell on earth, and you know it's coming from God, and you know it's because of your sin, and you still refuse to repent, on a scale of 1 to 10, the hardness of your heart is 9.9999%. And that is the danger of not repenting when you feel guilt over your sin. When a person feels guilt over their sin, and they know that Christ is the only way to receive forgiveness, but they won't repent, their heart grows a little bit harder. And if that continues, they can get to the point where they won't repent, even though their sin is killing them, and they are getting a very good taste of hell. And they're on the edge of eternal hell, and they still won't repent. Verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. This seems kind of anticlimactic after the first five bowls, doesn't it? But there's a reason for this that we will learn a little later on. But you know what? I'm out of time, so we're just going to have to pick it up right here in verse 12 again. And we'll do that next time. Now, in the meantime, I want you, if it's at all possible, to check out the Scripture Verse by Verse website found at thebibleversebyverse.com. We are living in perilous days. Each and every one of us is a heartbeat away from eternity. We need the Word of God. We need to make our days count if we are Christians. And nothing will prepare you to make your days count better than the Word of God. We must study the Word of God. And so go to the Scripture Verse by Verse website. And if you haven't already, begin a verse by verse study with me through the whole Bible or any part of the Bible using my audio Bible messages. And please remember that this is a faith ministry, and it has been for over 30 years. I've been doing this exact same thing in the exact same way. And I've never been underwritten by a large church or denomination, as I remind you on every broadcast. So please, if you want to be a part of this ministry, if you believe in getting out the Word of God like this, Then pray for me, pray for the word. Click the donate button at the top of the front page at the BibleVerseByVerse.com and prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. So long.